right, we don't do the good morning Jason thing because I'm not as good as Rashad, but good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good morning. Wow, maybe good morning Jason is a little bit better. Good gravy. Anyway, I'm just kidding. It is Mother's Day. I'm sure you guys have heard it. I think you guys should know this, that, you know, Rashad produces music. He reached out to a couple agents, and most of us men will be gone starting next week because we go on tour. So just know we're doing it this week, but ladies, it's all you next week. So just remember that. Wow, that was rough. I am so glad we have women up here that sing on Sunday morning and not Rashad or Corey. My gosh. Corey, where'd you get those lyrics at from, bud? I was expecting way better. I'm just going to be honest with you. Anyway, we're going to be in 2 Timothy today. If you want to head that way, we're only going to be in 5 verses. Today's a little unique. We're going to have a child dedication service at the end. So we're going to call all kids back in here, all kids, so it will get packed in here. So once we get to that section, if people can start squeezing in, because some of us have 4 or 5 kids, you know, I don't know how that happens, but we have them. And so we really like mom. So anyway, if you would, I'm going to start off with a story about my mother, and then I'm going to ask you guys to share stories about your mothers. And so you guys are actually going to help me with this sermon today. So my mom has come to Church on the Rock once or twice. She lives on the far east side of Indianapolis. And so if you've seen my mother, she's about 5'1". She might be 90 pounds soaking wet, maybe. My mom taught me a lot of things. My mom taught me how to fold clothes. My mom taught me how to cook. My mom taught me how to love. And one thing my wife will tell you what my mother didn't teach me is how to clean. All right? So you guys can talk to her about that. I won't fill you guys in on that part of it. But I do love my mom. She's done some amazing things in all of our lives. She has 5 children, so I have 5 siblings. And so I'm just following in her footsteps. As you guys know, my wife is pregnant with the 5th. So anyway, I'm going to open up the floor. I know some of your moms are here, and I know we're going to get a little teary, and that's okay. We're okay with that. All right? That just shows you how much you love your mom. But some of us, unfortunately, don't have our moms still here on earth. And so I know sometimes talking about your mom gets really, really hard when it's to that point. And so I am going to open the floor. Just please stand up and share your story about your mom. All right, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. There's a little background to this. This is the last letter that Paul writes. And if you guys know anything about Timothy, you guys have heard us up here talking about you need to have a Paul in your life, a Barabbas in your life, and a Timothy in your life. And so here, Paul is in a prison, and it kind of describes it more like a dungeon. All right, this is terrible terminology, but his second term in prison. But this is his last time. This is the last time he gets to write. He knows in chapter 4 he talks about that he is going to be killed. He knows that, and he wants to get this out. So this is a extremely, extremely important book. We get filled with useless knowledge, right? Like, you guys know grasshoppers are more nutritious than steak. Did you guys know that? How someone found that out, I have no idea. But it's a true story. Do you know the tallest anybody ever has taking bowling balls without using tape or glue is 10 high? Useless information, right? Timothy, or 2 Timothy, is full of knowledge that we need to know. When I was prepping for this sermon, I started reading all of 2 Timothy. I was like, I got to stop. There's so much information in there. I'm going to be overloaded. I won't know what to study. So I had to stop. But if you guys get a chance, really read 2 Timothy. If you guys had something you could say one last time to your mother, one last time to your father, one last time to someone that you wanted to come to know Christ, what would you say to them? And so this was Paul. He was writing this letter. This was the last time. He was passing the torch on to Timothy. And so this is a really deep book, but there's one part, and you guys already did my sermon. So we'll just read the verses, and then we'll go into what I was going to say over top of what you guys have already spoken about. It says, Paul, an epistle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly loved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my forefathers did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remember your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Anais, and that I am convinced is also in you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all those who were able and felt comfortable enough to stand up and tell stories about their mother, their grandmother, women in their lives that weren't even related that took them in and raised them. Lord, we thank you for those women. We thank you for the women in the Bible that can teach us. Lord, we thank you for this story. Lord, we just ask that as this message goes, Lord, that you'll just continually light the fire that's inside of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so first off, we're going to talk about in verse 3. I just kind of read verse 1 and 2 just to kind of get down to verse 3. But it says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my forefathers did. All right, so this is Paul writing, and he's being super thankful. All of you guys, most of you guys that spoke, talked about how you guys are thankful for your parents teaching you about God. I didn't say that in my story without my mom, because to this day, my mom still doesn't know Jesus. My mom doesn't know that love that I know. And it hurts, and I hope one day she'll come to know Jesus Christ, but she doesn't know him. But here Paul is writing so he can tell you he knows who God is. He knows where he's coming from, and he knows where he's going. All right, it says in verse 4, remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Anais. All right, I want to talk about influences of our family. Most people here probably had someone in their life earlier tell them about Christ. I did not. So here in the Bible, it shows that you have three generations started, right? His grandmother, Timothy's grandmother, was the very first one in that family to be saved. If you go, and we're not going to read it because we'd be here all day for me reading, but it's in Acts 13, verses 13, and goes to Acts 14, verse 31. That's Paul's first missionary journey. He's there. He's talking. This is where Paul most likely met these two women. And these two women were there. They got saved. That's the first generation. Grandma was the first generation Christian. Who here in this room is a first generation Christian and their household? I am. I know that. I'm the first generation Christian in my family tree. So that responsibility falls on me. All right? So when my children, now Cole and Nally, have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that's at least my second generation. I got two more that I'm hoping one day will accept Christ, and then we got a third one in the oven cooking, and I hope one day that we can lead them to Christ as well. But that's the second generation. There's going to be no greater joy. Who here is a grandparent whose grandchild has been saved? Anybody? How's it feel? It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. I love, 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 love leading people to Christ. Specifically, I love leading kids because they come so broken. And I don't even understand how they know that they're that broken, but they come and they are broken. And they ask, Mr. Jason, I need Jesus. Man, that will break your heart instantly. But there's no greater thing to see than when they say, but I want Jesus. I want Jesus. And so I had that great opportunity this past couple months to actually, God has opened up doors for me to be able to lead several kids in our youth ministry here to the Lord. And it's been an amazing thing. But it is so important that as we go, as we grow, we tell people about Jesus. Because it's up to us. If Paul or if Timothy's grandmother did not tell her daughter, who in return told her son, the torch couldn't have been passed, right? The torch was passed to Timothy through Paul, said, hey, I'm leaving this earth. It's up to you now. It's up to you. It's up to us now here, Church on the Rock. It's up to us to tell our kids about Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things I see here at Church on the Rock is people bringing their friends to church, not even someone that's their family. And some of the toughest conversations is to invite a friend and tell a friend, hey, bud, you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus. That's not an easy conversation to have, but it's a conversation we have to have. We have to tell them that Jesus came, that Jesus died, and Jesus rose again for them. And if we don't, we're missing the whole entire Great Commission. Go baptizing, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have to do that. We have to have influences outside of our family, all right? Sometimes, I know this is hard to believe, but Elizabeth and I argue. I know that's hard to believe, but we do. And so when that happens, I got my buddy I can call, hey, Rashad, man, can you help me here? Am I wrong in this, or do I need to go apologize? And typically, it goes like this. Go apologize, man. Okay, clear. So that's how that rolls. But we have to have outside influences, so when things like that happen, we can go and get counsel. It's important to get counsel. We had some situations in the youth group the other day, and we were talking about moms last week in the youth group because we're not having youth group tonight. But I told them, sometimes your mom tells you something you don't want to hear, but it's something you have to hear. And guess what? God tells us the same thing. He tells us things sometimes we don't want to hear, but we have to hear them. And we're so stubborn, we just throw it out the window and don't want to listen to him and just ignore him. But when you do that, guess who has the best punishments? Guess who, when he grounds you, he doesn't forget. When he takes your fidget spinners away from you, he ain't giving them back, all right? So remember, that is who we serve. We serve an almighty God that knows every single thing that we do. And so we can't hide. One of the greatest things I like to say is when we go out and we're acting like we're witnessing, but we're doing things we're not supposed to do, we always do this, but we never look up because he's always looking down, always looking at you, always making sure that you're following him. But sadly, we don't. We don't always follow him. We always want to try to get away, go around, you know, take the shortcut, where they say, the straightest line to A, or the easiest way to get somewhere is from point A to point B, but sometimes we want to go to point C and point D before we get to point B, all right? Jesus is our point A, and we need to love him in everything we do. Outside influences, Paul showed Timothy what he needed to do. He wanted to see Timothy so bad, the last thing he could think of was writing this epistle to him. Who here, if you had one last thing to say, would have a book to write to somebody? One person. He wrote all this to Timothy so Timothy could keep the faith and bring it to us. But so many of us don't want to listen. There's someone in this room right now that is probably thinking, man, I've heard this before. You're hearing it again because Jesus wants you to hear it again. Jesus wants you to know that he is here, that he is in this place literally, and he is ready to save you. And then there's influences in the church. People always say, I go to church. If you look at their life, you can see how they live their life, and you can tell if they go to church because they're getting filled, or they're going to church because their wife told them to, or they're going to church because their husband told them to. They're not living out what God wants them to do. And these stories you guys said is a perfect example. My mom was so strong in her faith. She prays for me daily. She does all these things. Do we all pray for our kids daily? If we don't, we need to. It's a rough world out there. It is bad. Here in Brownsburg, when we came here 6 years ago, John and Megan came and said, hey, Jason, man, we're thinking about planting a church in Brownsburg. Would you and Elizabeth be interested in going with us? And I didn't even know where Brownsburg was, and we lived on the east side, and I was like, we'll pray about it. And so we prayed about it, and we came over here, and I was like, man, it's kind of richy over there. I don't know about this. And so we prayed some more, and then we felt the call to come, and we came, and so we started. And, you know, sometimes on the outside looking in, it looks like Brownsburg has everything. You don't need anything, right? And then you read posts on Facebook chatter that black kids still can't walk down the streets in Brownsburg without being called names. It's ugly. It's bad. There's other bad things that happen in this community. And we have to be the influence of this community to show them it doesn't matter the color of your skin. Jesus died for all, not just the white man, not just the black man, not just the Chinese man. He died for everybody. And so many times, we, and myself included in this, will say something and not even, it just rolls off the tongue and you don't even think about what you said. But them are the influences your kids hear. Cole, one day, this is terrible, but it was so funny. And the only reason I'm sharing this is because Clinton cracked up laughing at it. We were driving down the road one day and we pulled up next to Clinton and we rolled down the window. Clinton already knows where the story's going, I don't even see him. But we rolled down the window and Cole, I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Walmart." Cole said, "What are you doing? Going to buy some ramen noodles?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh." Right? Didn't think anything of it. But that to me is a racist comment. Clinton thought it was great because Clinton didn't even know what ramen noodles was. He said, "But Bonnie does." So that was even greater. So, but anyway, sorry, Bonnie. I should have cleared that through you. But anyway, such a true thing that we have such great influences, even in our conversations. Like, you always, like, try to push your kids away when you're having that adult conversation. Don't think they're not nosing in, because they are. And so make sure your tongue is a tongue for Christ and not a tongue for hate. Because so many of us, without even knowing it, have the influence on our children that we have no idea that they're listening. And then somebody said that somebody brought me in. Elaine Carr just said that my mom brought this kid in down from the street. Them are the influences we need. Them are the influences that we need to share. Them are the influences that we need to let people know that they have. Me and Elizabeth's greatest influence in our, especially our marriage, was, it's tough, was Josh's mom. So it was hard when he stood up, because she was an amazing Christian woman. And she showed us a lot. We've had a lot of issues. Sorry, honey. And his mom was our rock and our fortress and a lot of things. And she got us through some terrible, terrible arguments we would have. And you know where she'd take us? Right to the Bible. It wasn't her words. It was God's words. And that's something that we need to make sure that we do. I know it's so easy to argue with your wife. It's your best friend, right? Some of the things you say to your wife or your husband, you would never say to a friend. But that's because it's your wife or your husband. But when that time comes and those arguments come, get in God's word and let God fix those problems. It's tough. It's tough. But be the influence. Somebody can look in your marriage. We could look at Shirley. Like Josh said, Shirley got divorced. But even through divorce, she was a light for us to see, because she showed us in the Bible so many things, so many things. She was that motherly influence for Elizabeth and I when we first got saved. If you would have told me when I first met Shirley that we would have a relationship that way, I'd have told you you were crazy, because Shirley was a quiet person. I think she was a little scared of me when she first met me. I don't know, but one day she was having an issue in her marriage, and I went and talked with Shirley, and that's how our friendship was started, through just a small conversation. Small conversations can create these huge relationships. And I challenge you guys to have those small conversations with family, with friends, with other Christians. That, you know what they say, iron sharpens iron. All right? Who's ever here seen that? It's an ugly thing. It's not this, oh, let's tick-tack, it'll finally get sharpened. It is hit after hit after hit, sparks flying, it's dirty, it's not always easy, all right? Me and Rashad aren't always buddy-buddy on stuff, all right? We do argue. I know that might be hard to believe, but we do. Because if we both agreed on everything, then there would be nothing. Because sometimes he has to sit me down, and sometimes I have to be like, "Rashad, ooh, we might not want to do that way." And that's what it's about. It's teamwork, but I still love him. There's nothing I wouldn't do for that man. And I hope that all of us can say that about each other, especially about our Barnabases. You guys have heard us say that, right? Have a Paul. You guys know what a Paul is? someone that pours into you, right? And then you have a Barnabas, someone that you walk along with in your Christian walk, and then you have a Timothy. Right here, it's a perfect example of what it was. Paul passed everything down to Timothy, and then Timothy continued it on. What's your legacy? Who has what you guys are teaching them? Who's going to take your Christian walk to the next step? Do you have that person in your life? If you don't, I pray that you do. It's tough. It's not an easy thing. I'm not going to say, oh, you can find him right now, or you can find her right now. It's not that easy, but find somebody and make it that way. As we close, you guys can't even do that if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. That's the first step. We talked about 2 months ago or a month and a half ago when I preached, we talked about so many times we talk about all you do is need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, which is absolute truth. You need to get saved. But there's so much more after salvation. So today, as we prepare for invitation, I ask, are you saved? Have you taken that step? Have you asked Christ into your life? That's the first step. Then after that, you have to live the life. It's not easy. If Christianity was easy, everyone would be a Christian, right? We get persecuted, we get hated, we get made fun of, we get called stupid. I'll never forget, Rashad posted something on Facebook 6 months ago, maybe longer now, and asked a legit question, why do you not attend church? And somebody said, I'm too smart for that. That's what they said. And they weren't being funny. It wasn't a slick comment. They were being serious. They're too smart for that. Well, I'm too dumb because I love Jesus. And I'm not going to let anybody else deter that. And I pray that if you're here and you don't have that love, that today before all this is over, we still have dedication after this. We have two families that are going to say that they're going to raise their kids in a Christian home. And that's an awesome thing. Awesome thing. And I promise you in about 6 months, we'll have another dedication because we'll have this little turd Cervisi running around. All right? I will do anything I can to make sure my children know who Jesus is. That one day might cost us our lives, but it killed Jesus just so we could have the chance to have salvation. Love you guys. Let's have a word of prayer. If you would, just please stand up. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for this story. Just five verses in, Lord, you show us how important influences are in our life. Lord, we pray that all the influences that we come across are positive. Lord, that they all lead to you. Lord, we know that most likely isn't the case, but Lord, we pray that we will be that positive influence for the people. Lord, we pray for our community. Lord, it hurts every time I hear things that go on in this community, specifically racism. Lord, I pray that Brownsburg is healed of that. Lord, that we can see everyone as equal. And Lord, I know that that's a tough thing. But Lord, I want to pray for the people in this community. I want to pray for our brokenness. I want to pray that Church on the Rock can be the influence Brownsburg needs. That we can go on social media and just praise your name. And Lord, don't live a false life. Don't let people know that, or let people not think that we don't have hurts. Lord, we have hurts. And Lord, we pray that we can praise you through those hurts. And Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we pray if there's one here that does not know you personally, Lord, that they can see myself, they can see Rashad, Lord, they can see one of us here that are on staff, Lord, and talk to us, and Lord, come to know you personally. Is it going to be easy? No. Is a Christian walk easy? No, but Lord, we just ask that everything we do honors and glorifies you, and that we are the influence that person may need. Lord, we love you. It's in your son's name.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you'd like any more information on Church on the Rock, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.